Good morning. You're listening to Raven Radio, KCAW in Sitka. Today is Thursday, August 6th, 2015. We are talking about technology this morning. We're talking about Twitter and Facebook. And before you shut off the radio because you don't want to hear any more about it, I trust you, this is a conversation you want to listen to and you can potentially be a part of. It's the vision of Ellen Frankenstein, a documentarian and media maker who's working on a new project called Frankentweet. Ellen, how are you doing this morning?
I am awesome. How are you?
What is Frankentweet? What's this project all about?
Well, oops, something popped there. Hey, as you may know, my name is Frankenstein.
Frankenstein.
Right.
Which is much like Frankenstein, the monster.
Exactly. So Frankentweet plays off my name, and it's a project. We're living in this like digital revolution, a changing digital landscape, and we want to chronicle and express that and engage and provoke people in the process.
Okay. When did you start this project and what has been taking place so far? Some of your ways of engaging people.
Well, let me explain. I am the slowest media maker in the world. I've had this idea for a couple years and now we're starting to manifest it. And we have some basic questions that maybe we should throw out about what we're thinking about the role of technology in our life. And can we mention that Patrick's here?
Yes. So you have brought in a special project coordinator for the summer. How are you doing this morning? What's your name and where do you hail from?
My name's Patrick and I'm from the Boston area. I've just been doing a bunch of different special projects this summer and sort of trying to examine the questions that Ellen mentioned.
Okay, let's hear these questions.
Patrick, why don't you throw some out?
So the first one is who benefits from the technical revolution? We're thinking about access and a variety of different things. President Obama just a few weeks ago came out with a new plan to try to put internet into the homes of all Americans because one in every four people don't have internet at home. 98% of Americans have access to internet, but sort of our assumption, a lot of sort of people just assume sort of that internet is sort of a necessity in the business world today, and that's true. And a lot of people assume that people have access at home, but that's not true. So that's one question we're exploring. Another question is, how is technology changing our minds, memories, and identities? And that's a very broad question, but we're trying to sort of just explore all those different avenues that question can take you. In what ways did this revolution change our relationships and the communities that we're a part of? We see social media changing the very communities that we exist in, and so we think that's an interesting avenue to explore. And what's the next innovation? Where are we going to be in 20 years? What am I going to be using, you know, when I'm 40 years old? And that's really exciting and also kind of scary because with the development of artificial intelligence and other things, it becomes the questions about, you know, sort of where do humans fit into this like digital world become more and more real. And so that's really interesting and exciting to explore.
These questions strike fear into my heart.
and then we'll give you the last one.
Okay.
Which is really important in this period of like all the stuff that's going on nationally. How can we use technology to overthrow inequalities and injustice that, you know, that are happening in our communities? So anyway, these are huge questions. Yeah. And so one of the way my process is the way I do stuff, people have seen Eating Alaska, is I like to throw things out there. I like to be inquisitive and involve people in the process. So this project is actually going to take two formats. One is all about engagement, intervention, what we call hijinks.
Hijinks.
It's okay. Involving people in the process. And then the next stage will be to develop a film, possibly. But maybe it'll just stay at the social media, Facebook-y, going into schools, involving people in the process.
What draws you to this topic in the first place?
Oh, it's just, I mean, because things have just changed so radically. Just the conversations, we cannot not talk about our devices and, you know, and just the way we spend our time.
Yeah. And you'd been sitting on this idea for a long time.
And it keeps changing. Like, I was just noticing that suddenly I get less voicemails. Like very few people leave voicemails. In the last 6 months, there's been this huge shift in my life. But that's only part of it, you know. I mean, there's just so many elements, and good and bad. And, you know,
let's take a look at some of the interventions that you've already conducted. The first one, I have some videos from that were posted on Vimeo the Art Change Inc. Account, which is this nonprofit you are a part of that uses art and storytelling for social change. So right up the avenue of this whole project. And it looks like, Patrick, you created something called a tech-free zone. What was this hijinks intervention? What was this all about? And what did you learn from it?
Well, I actually didn't come up with the idea.
Okay.
Earlier in the summer, we had another Art Change intern or special project coordinator. Her name was Julia. And so she came up with this idea that what if we had a tech-free zone? Like, what if we had a place for people to sit without their tech?
Okay.
So we were like, let's try it out and see how it goes. And so this is the intervention that came from it.
Let's play a little bit of it. I'll describe. Julia is standing in the middle of a lawn and she's asking people to put their devices in a box that has the words "be present" written on it. And no one is taking the time, stopping, putting their device in the box. And she is flopping on the grass in despair. Okay, here we go.
And we're so dependent on our phones because we use it to talk to our friends, we use it to socialize, we use it to post our lives and like kind of manifest our identity.
All right, so it really, to put your phone in a box is not just a matter of perhaps putting a $500 piece of equipment in someone else's hands. It's really, do you think it really goes that far that you're giving up your connection to the world, your social world, when you put that cell phone in a box? Does it go that far?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if the physical act of putting it in the box like totally separates you, because you can still hear the phone and everything like that. But it's more of a symbolic act of being sort of willing to give up that connection. And I think people are very hesitant. You know, we had very few people actually want to come into the zone. And people often talk about, oh, I don't want to use my technology as much anymore. And we've noticed that a lot in the interviews that we've been doing.
Hmm.
But to actually take sort of like concrete steps has been very hard for people, which I think is interesting. And like, so this symbolic action of putting it away from ourselves is really hard.
Interesting. And in doing these interventions, have you seen people being mindful or responsible with their technology? Have you seen any examples of people taking creative approaches to combat the addiction that's possible with these kinds of things?
Well, part of this is generating dialogue about it. And okay. I was in Gustavus as an artist in schools, and there's another video that's on there. And I had these teachers actually debating. It was just kind of really fun about, yeah, maybe we should show that clip.
Okay.
Yeah.
No, you can set it up. Go ahead.
Oh, well, I was an artist in schools in Gustavus, and one of the things you're supposed to do is a teacher's workshop. And I realized every room in the school, different things were going on with technology. One person actually still had a monitor with a DVD and VHS player in it, and the next room had a smart board in it. So I used my time as giving a workshop to make the teachers talk about this discrepancy and what the kids were experiencing.
Let's hear this clip. This is kind of amazing.
Our conceptions of how friendship works and how communication works is different. I mean, to be able to craft a meaningful message in 140 characters or less, that is a skill.
How many things are posted and sent around the internet that aren't true?
Right.
And that we say, oh, this is fact.
Right.
It's like, wait a minute, no.
When I was a kid, or even 5 years ago, there was such a thing as an unanswered question that existed.
Oh, right.
You know, that does not exist anymore. Mm-hmm. And like the children.
So this teacher goes on to say, you know, that she had a student. They were asking questions to her in class, and she said, you know, I don't know the answer, but I'll think about it. And the kid said, Miss V, you have to Siri it. You have to look up the answer on your phone. Apple has this technology called Siri where you can literally ask your phone a question. Maybe some of you have it. But I found this fascinating how, you know, in the early 2000s when laptops and personal devices were being marketed and distributed so widely, that the push was to put technology in the classroom. I remember being in middle school and being jealous of the elementary school fifth graders because they got laptops and we didn't. You know, we grew up without having laptops in the classroom and thinking, oh, they're so lucky, they get to use laptops. And just the mystique of using a computer was really exciting. But now we're seeing debate about whether that is useful. What do you think? What have you learned in bringing this question into classrooms?
Well, I've only started to, but I've only started to do this. Yeah. But it turns out on Monday I got to join my friends from KTO 360 North and doing a piece for CPB or on the American Graduate and being in Cynthia Duncan's class at Keat. We kind of did this setup, and the kids there have been using Minecraft and recreated Tlingit Village. I mean, so they're using.
Wow.
I mean, it's.
What is Minecraft?
It's a video game where you build things. I don't know much about it. I have a nephew who uses it, but. I didn't know about that. So there's all these super positive things. And again, this is an invitational project, and we're sort of crowdsourcing and moving what we find out. So we encourage people to go to our Facebook page,
yep.
Frank and Tweet, to go to Art Change Inc. And go to Frank and Tweet on there. And we have an Instagram. And on the Frank and Tweet page on Art Change, there's a survey we'd love people to take that our special project folks put on. And then today, I think it's time. How much time do we have left? Because
I think we have about a minute.
Uh-oh.
Is there not enough time? So we can do it quickly.
But first, I think we want to invite people to come to the back door today at 2 to take part in an experiment.
Okay. Yes. So for you listening, you too can become involved with this project and be a part of this conversation about how technology influences our lives at 2:00 today at the back door. Patrick, what will you be doing? And what can, without spoiling it, of course.
I'll be there with a computer and a mirror. And I'm going to ask you a couple questions about identity. And if you have Facebook, that would help. I'll be sitting. I'll have you log in on your Facebook and you can just sit there for a couple of minutes and look and explore and try to sort of understand how these social medias are changing how we view ourselves. So it fits in with that second basic question that we were talking about earlier.
Okay. We'll save the intervention for me for maybe I'll just come to the back door and partake. But the last question I actually wanted to ask was to you, Ellen, I'm wondering how this film connects to the rest of your body of work, or if this is something really new for you to be doing such a project that engages so closely with the people that are in the film. How does this fit in your life? Or are you kind of just all figuring it out?
Oh, it totally fits. All my work is about process. It's like what happens along the way involving people. All this stuff is very much about questions. All the projects, well, a lot of them are very much about journeys and things that don't answer. I mean, eating Alaska, I went hunting, but I couldn't do it. In Tracing Roots, I went on a journey with Dolores Churchill, and we didn't really finish what we set out, but we learned other things. So it totally works.
Yeah. And how can people contact you if they want to get involved or learn more about it? Well, follow Frank and Tweet on Facebook, for
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, Frank and Tweet on Facebook. Go to artchangeinc.org. Eating Alaska on Twitter. What else do we have? Instagram is Frank and Tweet. And if you really just want to pick up the phone, 907-738-2174. If you have ideas or questions or whatever.
Okay.
And thanks. Anything else?
I think that's it. I'll release you to the world to continue this awesome project. Ellen Frankenstein is a media maker and educator at the helm of Frank and Tweet. And Patrick is her special project coordinator for the summer. Thank you so much both for coming in today.
Thank you, Emily.
Thank you.